Good morning to anyone at home watching online too. I look at my Bible app every morning before I look at anything else on my phone, and this could be the sermon today, so watch out. Our sermon today is about listening for the voice of God, about being still. And this is the verse of the day on BibleGateway.com. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Today, if only you would hear his voice. So that could be the whole sermon, but that will be our prayer. So Lord, I ask you today to open our ears and our eyes and our hearts as you bring your word. Lord, let it be clear. Amen. Okay, good morning. It's Labor Day tomorrow. Does anybody get the day off?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Labor Day marks the unofficial end of summer. President Grover Cleveland signed it into national law as a national holiday in 1894. So Labor Day has been around for a long time. It's a day that reminds us to slow down, to pause, and to rest. So we need days off, don't we? Life gets busy. Whether it's work, school, parenting, moving, meetings, doctor visits, sports, fantasy football league, any of that, it fills up our calendars, just like Jolene just said. It fills up our physical lives, our physical days. And just like our physical days get filled up, our mental space gets overloaded too. So I don't really love filling up my car with gas, especially in January. But at least when you're standing there filling your car, you have a few minutes to just think. You can look around, see what's going on, you just think. But now, when you go to the gas pumps, there are video screens there. So do we really need video screens while we're pumping gas to tell us, or show us commercials and ads and recipe ideas? Can we not get 3 minutes peace while we're pumping gas? I think I missed that. So not only are we busy striving to accomplish all the things on our calendar, everywhere we go, there's all this background noise. We're like toddlers at a restaurant with screens at the gas pump. So people in groups and screens shouting opinions at you, telling you what to believe, what to like, all this background noise. Social media, podcasts, radio, TV, all background noise. Does it ever make you want to just cover your ears and curl up into the fetal position? Be still and know that I am God. And if you ever see me like this at the gas pump, I'm talking to God. So there's a Danish philosopher named Soren Kierkegaard, and he once said, "The present state of the world is diseased. If I were a doctor and were asked for my advice, I would reply, create silence. Bring people to silence. The word of God cannot be heard in the noisy world of today." Isn't that wisdom for the ages? He wrote that sometime in the 1800s. If it was noisy then, what would he think now? Be still and know that I am God. One way God is described in Scripture is speaking in a still, small voice. And that means if he has a still, small voice, we have to get quiet to hear him. We have to get still to hear him. Even Jesus, with his full schedule of healing and teaching, would go off on his own to a quiet place to pray. Peter went up to a rooftop to pray. And it wasn't by choice, but Jonah ended up in the belly of a big fish, and that's where he heard from God and talked to God. Be still and know that I am God. Many people know about the theologians John and Charles Wesley, but have you heard of their mom? Susanna Wesley, the mother of John and Charles Wesley, had at least 19 children. She lived in a small rectory, which meant she had no privacy. And yet she was known as a woman of deep prayer. So how would somebody in a tiny little house with 19 kids running around, how would they take time to pray? Well, it is said when she needed time with God, she would pull her apron or a blanket over her head as a signal to her kids, "Mom is praying. Unless it's on fire, don't bother her." That doesn't sound ideal, and it probably wasn't quiet, but it was intentional. Susanna Wesley made space for God in the chaos of her daily life, and God met her there. So other than throwing a blanket over our head, which might sound like a good idea some days, how can we carve out a quiet, sacred space for listening to God? Well, first of all, why do we need to? Guidance, for one thing. We have a tendency to wander. Isaiah 53:6 says, "We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. He is our shepherd. God, the Son, Jesus, is our shepherd. A shepherd's job is to guide the flock, his sheep, and keep them safe. He is the shepherd, we are the sheep. And we need guidance. We need to know our shepherd's voice. Be still and know that I am God." Susanna Wesley belonged to the Lord, and she knew his voice. But what does it mean to belong to the Lord? If we belong to the Lord, we love him, no doubt, and we recognize him as our source of life. We recognize him as our source of hope. We trust him. It is he who created us along with everything else. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. We read in John 10, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." We have to know him. So how can we make space in our life for listening to God? Here are some practical things we can do. And this is not an exhaustive list. These aren't the only three things, but three things we can do to make space for listening to God's voice. Be still, pray, and read the Bible. The first one, be still. We live in a very distracting world. We've established that. So we must get still and intentionally listen for God's voice. Coming to church or watching online is great. That's a good thing. But if we are going to hear God and recognize his voice, we have to ignore distractions. That might mean, where did it go? Might be mean putting down our phone, shutting off the radio, turning off the TV, even closing a book. When I was a kid, I loved reading, but if my mom was talking while I was reading, I didn't hear her. And if she gave me instructions while I was reading, I didn't hear them at all. So sometimes we even have to close a book. We miss so much when we aren't intentionally listening. I was reminded of this lately when Pastor Tim asked us to turn to our neighbor during a sermon and ask them, "How good am I at listening?" So I asked my daughter, pretty confident in what her answer would be. Of course I listened to her. So I asked my daughter, "Am I a good listener?" And she said, "Yeah, but you don't always hear me." Oh, wow, she was right. So since then I've asked her about this, and she did say that my hearing isn't great. And years of loud music did that, I guess. But it could also have meant that I'm distracted and busy, and I don't always hear her, just like my other kids, or my husband. So I appreciated her candor, and I appreciated her grace that she showed me. So when our minds are on a dozen things at the same time, we might think we give the appearance of listening, but we miss what people are trying to say. I genuinely want to hear what people say, but when I'm not intentionally still, I miss a lot. We miss a lot. And we might be hurting the people who are trying to talk to us. So is that how God feels? Does he see us down here running around with our busy lives and our calendars and trying to accomplish everything? Do you think we're down here, yep, I hear you, Lord, I got this. But we're not being intentional and really listening for his voice? Is it possible God would say to us, "You don't always hear me"? Distractions are a part of life. But when we pay more attention to our distractions, we're going to miss it. We're going to miss what God has to say. When we don't ask God, "What do you have to say about this, Lord? What do you think?" When we don't ask him and then listen for his answer, what will happen? "Lord, show me what we can do. Tell me it's all going to be okay. Lord, I need your words to share." But then we don't listen, we're not going to hear it. So you're here today, good job. Maybe you're watching online, good job. But there's more. I love coming to church. I love learning and worshiping and just sitting down with your shoulders down and breathing and talking and listening to God. Some might say, well, of course it's easy to be still in church. You're in church. But church isn't the only place that God speaks, is it? God is always speaking. I have a favorite book called The Pursuit of God, and A.W. Tozer wrote this in his book. He is God. He is, by his nature, continuously articulate. He fills the whole world with his speaking voice. So our church service is just 1 hour, give or take. That leaves 167 other hours in the week. 1 hour here is not enough to be all in for Jesus, to hear God's voice. 1 hour is not enough. God is outside the church building just like he is inside the church building. God is everywhere, and we don't want to miss what he has to say. So we need to be still here in church and outside of church. The second thing we can do as we listen for God's voice is pray. Now, prayer is two-way communication. It is not just going to the Lord with a list of requests. Prayer is talking to God, praising God, and it's also listening to what God has to say. We have to listen to his response for his response. So several years ago, it was about this time of year, it was fall, I was trying to get ready for the kids' message, and I was struggling to pinpoint which verse to use. And I knew the theme was going to be how much God loves you, how much Jesus loves you. And I just couldn't decide which verse to use. But as I was getting ready, in my mind, I kept hearing this song, "How Deep the Father's Love for Us." And it was that I associate that song with Easter. And we were nowhere near Easter, but the song kept going through my mind. So I thought, okay, Ephesians 3:17 it is. That's the lesson to share this week. Ephesians 3:17 says, "And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ." Yeah, that would work. That went along with that song in my head. Solid, the word of the Lord. But was the timing right? So I get to church that Sunday, and I walk in, and Cheryl's playing piano. And can you guess what song she was playing? Nowhere near Easter. "How deep the Father's love for us." And I get so excited in moments like that. I'm like, "I see you, Lord. I hear you. You heard my question. I heard your voice." It was amazing. It was confirmation that, to me, that the Lord speaks to us. So, like praying for the right words to share during the kids' message, I know our worship leader, Cheryl, prays and asks God for discernment in choosing each song we sing every Sunday. So, sure, she has an in with the pastor, and she knows what subject matter he'll be teaching. And he sometimes requests a song to go along with his message that week. But we on the praise team have the privilege of watching Cheryl pray. "Lord, what songs do you want us to share this week?" And they are not, they may not be the ones that are popular at the moment. They may not be our favorites. They may not be your favorites. But we get to see how Cheryl relies on God for discernment in choosing the songs we sing. We've gotten to church before. Well, during practice on Wednesdays, we go through several songs, 3, 4, sometimes 5. And we have our list for the week. But then sometimes we get to church, and it might be happening today. We get to church, and Cheryl will say, "I don't know why this song is in our lineup, but this is what I feel God is telling us to sing today." Or sometimes she'll say, "This isn't it today. We're not doing this one." And we just trust that she's listening to God, and it's very encouraging for us. And it reminds us to ask God what we don't know, what we want to know, and just listen for his answer. So be still. Be still and pray. The third thing we can do to listen for God's voice is read your Bible. Get into God's word. And if you don't have a Bible, Pastor Tim has one he would love to give you. And if he runs out, we know where to get more. Read the Bible. Study it. Ask questions. Talk to other people about what you're reading. Meditate on it, and the Lord will meet you there. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of the Lord is living and active." The Bible is not outdated. God still speaks to us through the Bible. And as you read, you can ask God, Lord, what does this mean? There are a lot of things I need to ask God. What does this mean? And it starts to make sense. He will make it make sense for you. So when you look in your Bible, you will see that, yes, God spoke out loud to many people. He walked in the garden with Adam and Eve. He told Noah just how to build that ark. He talked to Abraham, Moses, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah. He spoke out loud at Jesus' baptism. He opened the clouds and he spoke out loud. He spoke out loud to Saul, who then became Paul, on the road to Damascus. There are over 2,000 phrases in the Bible that say God spoke, or phrases like this, God said, or God spoke to Moses. We know that God has an audible speaking voice. Samuel heard the voice of God, but he didn't recognize it right away until he was instructed by Eli. So we know godly counsel is important. Maybe God's trying to tell us something with what we read in the Bible. And if we share that with another believer, maybe he'll help it become clear to us. So read and share. Reading God's word will help us learn to recognize God's voice. The more familiar we are with Scripture, the clearer it will be if something is not right, if something is not of God or from God. We can always check things against Scripture. Reading God's word helps us know and trust God's character. God is holy. God is love. God is merciful, all-knowing, all-powerful. God is faithful, and God is sovereign over all. We have the complete Bible, the inspired word of God, and we know how the story ends. We know how it turns out. So we should read it, study it, meditate on his word, and listen for his voice as we do. Now, the Bible is a primary way that God speaks to us, but there are other ways. He is God. God is God, and he can do whatever he wants, but he speaks to us through the Bible, sometimes in a dream, sometimes just an impression. Of course, the Holy Spirit. He uses the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Sometimes another person, he'll have them tell us something, and if we know God's voice, we will recognize what he's saying. Seek the Lord in his word. It will help you learn to recognize his voice, even when you aren't specifically trying to hear it. He can and he does speak, even when we aren't seeking him. Maybe those times he uses to get our attention. So I have a story from 25 years ago when God spoke to me. My grandma Wolf passed away in July of 2000. She was a dear, sweet lady who loved history, and she loved the Lord. And she taught me a lot. Grandma taught me a lot about what it means to truly listen. At loud family gatherings, she would just sit there quietly, looking around the room. And sometimes she would even say, I'm just listening. And when she did speak up, she would share something wise and thoughtful. And in the days after Grandma died, all of her grandchildren got to pick out special things to keep, that to remind us of her. And she had a lot. She was a collector of a lot. So one thing I chose was a pretty necklace that had a pale lavender pendant. And in those days, I had three little kids, and I was always not organized. And I was always, on Sunday mornings, we would try really hard to get out of the house on time for church. Didn't always work out. We were late sometimes. But I never wore jewelry because I just wasn't organized enough to wear jewelry. So one Sunday, not long after Grandma had passed, I decided, I'm going to wear her pretty purple necklace today, and I put it on. So during the service, we were standing up. At our church, we did a lot of stand up, sit down, stand up. Then I was standing up. I was bouncing a baby on my hip, and I remember I was wearing her necklace, and it was time to pray. And as I put my head down to close my eyes to pray, I caught a glimpse of her necklace, and I thought, oh, I should wear jewelry more often. And at that moment, while everybody else was praying, at that moment, my necklace fell off onto the floor into the air vent I was standing next to. Not this one. So there it was. And I heard God say, pay attention. And I'm pretty sure I felt a tap on my shoulder. It could have been the baby I was holding. But I heard, pay attention. I did get the necklace back after church. The vent was flat. My dad or my brother went, they got it out. But I haven't worn it since. So God's voice is powerful. His voice is so powerful, indeed. Sometimes it's a whisper. Pay attention. Sometimes it's thundering, but it is always loving. So in the book, The Pursuit of God, Tozer also wrote, "The voice of God is the most powerful force in nature." He went on to say, "The word of God is quick and powerful. In the beginning, he spoke to nothing, and it became something. Chaos heard it and became order. Darkness heard it and became light." That is how big and amazing God's voice is. He spoke all of creation into existence, and yet he still wants to talk to us. He wants to talk to you. The God who created the whole world sees you, and he wants to talk to you. God speaks, and storms stop. God, who opened the clouds and said, "This is my Son, whom I love, in him I am well pleased," that God, our God, sent his Holy Spirit to live in you. God loves you, and he wants to talk to you and be in relationship with you. All the time, not just here in church, all the time. Our lives are not unimportant or trivial or too bad or too small for God. He loves us, and he sent Jesus to save us, not just for someday in heaven, but for here and now. Be still and know that. Be still, pray, read the Bible. I came across this short devotion for Labor Day. It says, "Labor Day reminds us to pause and honor the work of our hands. But long before there was a national holiday, there was a rhythm woven into creation itself. God worked for 6 days, speaking the world into being, and on the seventh day he rested. Not because he was tired, but to set a pattern. Work is good, rest is holy." Scripture teaches us the value of diligence, but God also commands rest, not as a reward for exhaustion, but as a reminder that we are his. Sabbath is not a suggestion, it's a gift. Embrace the gift of rest. So good news, it's okay to rest. And not only is it okay, it is ordained by God, just like work was. God told us to rest. And when we rest and we are still, we will be listening for God's voice. Be still and listen for God's voice. I have a prayer from the end of the chapter in The Pursuit of God. The chapter is called The Speaking Voice of God. So this is the prayer that Tozer wrote at the end. "Lord, teach me to listen. The times are noisy and my ears are weary with 1,000 raucous sounds that continuously assault them. Give me the spirit of the boy Samuel when he said to you, 'Speak, for your servant hears you.' Let me hear your speaking in my heart. Let me get used to the sound of your voice, that its tone may be familiar when the sounds of earth die away, and the only sound will be the music of your speaking voice. Be still and know that I'm Lord."